that are false to love.
For me,
amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
If you don't turn it off, because we are trying to get this show on and started so we can, so me and Heather can argue and fight, because apparently we have not done so in a very, very long time. So we're going to go ahead and start the show tonight. You will be lacking the voices of Brother Joey and PJ because they have some other things that they have to do this evening, but we miss them. And we're welcoming back Heather to the show. Lord, we've missed you.
What in the name?
We've missed you, Heather.
Whatever.
I don't believe it. No, seriously, I have missed you because, I mean, now, don't get me wrong, Roxy, you know, did her thing last week, you know, standing in the gap, but even though she went off on the left side and I wasn't feeling her, but that's neither here nor there.
She went off on the left side? How do you know you wasn't on the left side?
Hey, we're not going to talk about last week. We're happy you're back.
Whatever.
We're happy you're back.
Jeff, was Beach on the left side last week?
We have to go ahead and get it started.
No, you don't get to throw that out there and nobody address it. Heather is back.
That's the problem. Now I need you to go on and sit down over there, and we'll be able to discuss
What are we talking about tonight?
So tonight, we are talking about dysfunctional relationships and why we stay.
Okay.
Then, a little bit later, we're going to be talking about accepting the me you see. So we're going to jump. Oh, and Jeff is here. Our faithful.
I was going to say, my favorite.
Faithful Jeff, who is always holding us down. Even though we have to put him in the corner on a regular basis. Hey, Jeff.
I'm fine. That's why Roxy called and checked you last week. That's why you talked to
us.
God.
Ain't none of y'all checked me. I still feel the same way that I felt last week. Even had to ask some people, and they was like, that's crazy. But that's not the topic tonight. We can revisit later just on that comment alone. But anyway, so if you want to call in tonight, please call in at 760-683-2662. We'd really like to hear your comments, your questions that are relevant to tonight's topic. We don't need nobody calling about last week. Okay, so I just want to go ahead and put it out there. Anywho, so let's just go on and jump right in and let's talk about it. So the situation is you're in a relationship and you're constantly arguing. And it's not so much that you're arguing with your partner, it's you come out and you talk to the Jeffs and you talk to the Heathers and you talk to the Deidres and you're saying, you know, I don't like this and he make me sick or she get on my nerves and she always doing this or he's always doing that. Yet you go back and you accept all of that stuff that you say is wrong. Why is it, Heather, can you help me, Jeff, can you help me? Why is it that they stay? Have you ever been in a relationship where it was just on every end, every side, it was just like, ooh, they get on my nerve, I can't stand. Ooh, I wish he would just shut up. Ooh, I just wish he would close her mouth. Oh, she is on another planet. But then you go back and you stay. Why?
Well, I think that people stay for many different reasons, and I think that, you know, arguments aren't the only thing that, you know, that you leave for. But I think most times it's because people have a vested interest and they are afraid of what is to come by leaving. You know, the uncertainty of the future and whether or not there is or will be someone else or being alone. I think there are multiple reasons why people stay, but, you know, those are a few. That's what I think. I know that I've stayed in some dysfunctional relationships, and when I look back at it, I'm just like, I have no idea what I was thinking. Absolutely no idea.
I mean, you can't transport us back into one of those relationships. I mean, like, what? No, seriously. I mean, what is it that makes you, you're in a relationship, you've been there for a month, a year, 5 years, and it's just not working? I mean, I understand being afraid of the future and the unknown and all that, but isn't your happiness, isn't your peace of mind?
Here's what I learned, though, about that is happiness really is a temporary state. You know, we all say that we're seeking happiness, but what we're really seeking is fulfillment. And what happens when you remain in a dysfunctional relationship, from my perspective, for me, is that you are so blinded from reality because you have told yourself a story. And when I say a story, I don't mean a lie. I'm just saying that you've told yourself something that is truth for you. And if that is that you love the person and you don't really love, like I had a conversation the other day with someone that I used to date, and any other time when they said, I just don't think we should even speak on the phone anymore, I would have went into, well, why not? But I was so relieved because they had called me and I had exemplified who I am now versus who I was then that it didn't even bother me because in my mind I'm thinking, you idiot, the conversations that you've had with numerous people to leave this person alone, and there's such, I mean, I can't find a better word, there's such an asshole. Like, it was no reason whatsoever to even involve in that, but I stayed because I had sold myself the story that I was in love, that we were meant to be, we have so much in common. But it was totally dysfunctional, like dysfunctional to a point where it was abusive by him and self-abusing by me. And so I think you convince yourself that that's where you're supposed to be and that's what you want and that you're happy. And we really need to stop wanting to be happy or thinking happiness is a level or a standard because it's just a state. And it doesn't last. What lasts is fulfillment. And so, yeah, you may be happy in the relationship, but you're never fulfilled.
Okay. But, okay, so here you are. You're in a relationship. You have your you have your parents' marriage to reflect on. You have your sister's marriage. And then countless other friends and families, that other successful relationships. And you said you sold yourself into this fantasy or this whatever it is in staying. How did you get there? Was it that the person portrayed themselves so to another extreme that when you start stripping away who they really were? So what is that place that you get where you start convincing yourself that I'm in love. I'm going to stay. Like, how do you get there?
It's because it's not like you convince yourself. act, or you got that way, you know, once everything else was done and over with. No, you are that way over time. And once you're in a relationship and it's established, I mean, you're dating, you're getting to know each other, so it's the honeymoon phase and everything. After that portion of the relationship goes on, you then begin to see, without the blinders, people begin to let their guards down and do things. And I can say specifically for me, the whole cheating thing. So, yeah, everybody says, oh, they cheated on me one time and it's over. Well, yeah, we all were in that mindset at one point in time. But other times, we haven't been. And so you're like, you hear the story, oh, I'm so sorry, it won't happen again, I love you, you love me, da 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 da. And it starts a vicious cycle of negative behavior. And just like a child or anybody else, once I get away with a little bit, I'm going to see how much I can get away with the next time. And you then believe in your heart that they do love you. You do love them. Things are going to change. Things are going to get better. We really love each other. And you don't move. A lot of it has to do with fear, like I said. For me, I know in one relationship, a lot of it had to do with failure because it was supposed to work. It was meant to work. We had history. We had been friends. People knew. I mean, don't fail at this. And so it's multiple reasons. I mean, I can't at this point, you know, I'm cut and dry, so I'm just going to say it was a crazy lapse of better judgment, but nobody can tell you that when you're in the middle of it, because I am telling you, I have cried and stood and argued with some of the best of them that I was in love, and this was meant to be, and God intended for us to be together, and God knows I'm glad I'm away from them today.
Okay, well, you
so
went there.
When you're in it, you just in it.
Okay, you're in it when you're in it. I have a couple other questions about that. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and get that question or comment from Felicia in D.C. Felicia, what's your question or comment?
Hi. My comment was, a lot of times we, I could say as women, we stay because we fall in love with that the man's representative. He's so sweet. He's so nice. He does everything that you want, and he does it for quite a while. And then once he starts to change, you're like, okay, I'm just going to wait for him to get back to the way he was. When he's never going to do that because that wasn't the real person in the first place. I married a man like that. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for that lovable person who was affectionate, who told everybody he loved me, waiting for him to come back. And after 8 years of marriage, he never came back. So I left.
So my question is this. Okay, so you get married, and he, let's just say you started seeing the change before you got married. And even prior to getting with him, we all have this, you know, if someone cheats on me, I'm leaving. If he hits me, if he's disrespectful, you know, it's not going to go any further. And I understand all of the he's nice, she's nice, you know, everything is perfect, the whole honeymoon stage. But then when we come against those ugly moments, why don't we act? Why is it that you didn't say, you know what? No, we're not going to go there. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one because this right here, what you're doing, this is not acceptable.
Do you want to honestly know?
I actually went to
my elder. I went to my mother, my father, my grandmother, and they all told me to stay because as he got older, he was going to become the husband that I needed, that he would mature. He would mature into the man that I needed, that they could see he was a really good person. He was never mean to me. I can't say that he was mean or he ever beat me, but he was a cheater. And they all told me he would mature one day and that he's a great man, which he, I can tell you this, he was a great provider. I never needed anything. He raised my son as his own. My son's 19 now. He still is his father to this day. He is a great person. He just did not need to be in a marriage because he refused to be in a well, he refused to be monogamous, basically. And as I was younger, they kept saying, he's going to mature. Don't, you know, don't worry. I see it in him. His own mother told me that. You know, so because I'm listening to them, I stayed for a while. But after a while, it was just like, no, this is just too much.
So did you go back to them and say, look here, I don't know who you've been telling or who told you that, but don't ever tell anybody that again. Did you tell them? I mean,
well, no, not necessarily. She don't need to go back and say that because, in essence, what they were getting at is what has been ingrained in women for ages and for years past is that, and, I mean, we even still say it to this day, make the excuse that men mature, you know, slower than women, and it takes more time for them to get themselves together. And in hindsight, especially in the religious community, you know, the scriptures talk about the wife walking upright in front of the husband until his ways change, being an example and a light, so much so that he's been enlightened and, you know, changes, you know, his ways. And so the belief is that you pray, you stick it out because he's going to make that change. He's going to make that switch. Unbeknownst to our elders, these Negroes drink another kind of water.
They sure do.
And being kind and praying and standing and waiting don't work for this bunch.
Right.
And it's not so much because of, you know, anything inside of them, but I am 100% convinced that it is because of women. Because so many of us have lowered the standard and made it okay to deal with men who are in relationships and to not, even if we don't know they're in a relationship, we don't hold men accountable at a certain level. So, you know, he can disappear on holidays and it's just okay. He can give you any excuse. And at some point, you know, back in the day when you got in a relationship, y'all dated for a little while, next thing you know, he was going to take you over, you know, his mother's, or it was going to be a family birthday function that you go to. I mean, some of these girls ain't never met a family member.
Right.
And in love and ready to get married. Don't even know the child's mother. Don't even know his real name. Don't even know a middle name. No information. Ain't never been over his house. I mean, so the standard allows for men. And then when there's, like in D.C., what, 18 women to every man?
I don't care.
There are options.
I don't care. Okay, maybe I ain't drunk the water, and maybe that's the reason why I'm single right now, because I'm telling you, after that second, third month, if I start seeing stuff that don't line up with what you're saying or how you're doing or what's going on, yeah, I'm okay with ending it. As much as I desire to be in a relationship where I can have a live body right next to me right now, I cannot move forward.
Okay, but suppose you don't get it in that first 2 or 3 months. Suppose it happens after you marry.
Suppose that's why Deidre is divorced.
But
I will say, Felicia, you made a very valid point, because when I was in the stages of I can't stay in this marriage anymore, it was, why would you do that? He's this. He's that. He's great. He's not doing this. He's not beating you. He's all these things. But it just wasn't connecting. And for a long, I mean, I'll say for about 2 of those years, I was trying to convince everybody else, I am not staying. And for them to be okay. And then I got out.
Yeah. But I don't think it's as concrete and as easy as...
But why isn't it?
Because from the outside looking, I mean, you learn lessons as you go on. Like, I'll share, you know... I had a friend, a guy that I had met probably when I was 12 or 13 years old. And from the time that I met him, I was
totally enthralled with him. Just perfectly dressed. Appearance-wise, he was the most handsomest thing I had ever seen. And I'm like 12, 13 years old. So I meet him. He's older than me. He's in high school. And nothing in the world sits or stands on him. And he looks at it as a little girl having a crush on him. Well, as time goes on, we're really becoming friends. And by the time I'm in high school, you know, he's probably in the 12th grade, graduates, and he's just like, you know, my lifestyle is very different. You're the preacher's daughter. We really can't be with each other. You know, this isn't healthy or whatever. And I'm like, no, but I really like you, but I'm like you. But then I'm like, okay, I'm cool with being friends. So we're friends for multiple years. Like, I graduated high school, went to college, and I mean, we're friends through everything. You know, he was the drug dealer, so, you know, anything I wanted, he would always give it to me. You know, nothing was ever a no, but we just couldn't be together. It's two different lifestyles, and I knew he ran women. You know, I would talk to him, and he'd be dating this one would be coming over his house, and that one had just left. So I kind of knew him to know how he was. Fast forward, out of college, then graduated, and we're still friends, and he's grown up a bit. Gotten a job, been through the whole jail thing, served time, gotten on the right track, and really doing what he's supposed to be doing. And we're both like, look, we've been friends, and it's been over 15, 16 years. You know, we're ready to be in a relationship. The most dysfunctional relationship in all of heaven and earth. But what I knew was that I loved him and that he loved me. Well, we loved each other because we were friends. We've been friends so long, we knew each other. What we did not know is each other in relationship. Because, see, when he was out on the streets and we were just friends, I don't care where he was or what he was doing. If I called, he was going to answer. If I paged him, he was going to respond. It was never a delay. When we became boyfriend and girlfriend, there were delays, day-long delays. And it just got progressively worse. I stayed with this man for about 6, 7 years, years. And the problem was is that we had been friends for so long. Our families had known each other. We had gone through the death of parents, the birth of children. I mean, all of this stuff we had done together. And the friendship was always what we would fall back on if I was ready to leave, if he was ready to leave. And the crazy part of what I discovered with him was he was never going to leave me alone. He was going to cheat. He was going to I mean, when I tell you it got bad, it had gotten bad till things were happening like I would show up. We were supposed to be going out. I would show up over his house. I'm ready to go. I'm knocking on the door. No, I'd go to use my key. And the top lock, which is only locked when somebody's inside the house, was on, and I couldn't get in the door. So I'm like, you can't lock it unless you're inside the house. So he has to be in there. I'm knocking like, are you asleep? Are you asleep? Something just hits my brain and says, check the answer machine. Check the answer machine. Hear a girl's voice. Call back the number. I hear the phone ringing inside. She's inside with him. And I'm standing on the other side of the door. He won't let me in. I'm talking about bad cheating scenarios. I'm at the door, and she's trying to come out. He's trying to throw her out and not come out with her because I'm going to stomp her, and I'm going to stomp him. When I'm talking about bad, I'm talking about calling the police. I'm talking about terrible stuff that no one would ever even think Precious Heather
could
have been a part of. Yes. And I'm just telling you that you don't see it. You have sold yourself the goods, and you think you're in love, and you think this is where you're supposed to be, and you think that's the one for you. And what it really is fear of what happens after him. You know, nobody wants to say that they think it, but in the back of my mind, I kind of felt like, who else was going to want me but him? And it's like, now I look at him, and he's not a bad guy. He's still cute. He's still fine. He's still dressed. But I'm like, please. I know they've come better than that. And so it's not an assault on him, because he was being the him that he was when we were friends. He was running women. He was lying and doing everything. You know what I mean? He didn't change. And what I thought, where I had to look in the mirror and face me was, you thought you were better than all of them. So you thought you were going to be treated better. You thought you meant more to him than all of them. So you thought you was going to be treated better.
You thought you
And at the end of the day, I wasn't accepting to the rule. I didn't mean more. And so I think when people say, oh, she's stupid, oh, she's crazy, I think, you know, you really have to be there to get it and to understand it, because it's almost difficult to explain. I mean, if I told you some of the things, I mean, people would be like, how? And it was so crazy, and it caught me off guard, because I had always been the type of person that I never tripped off of men. I never let things like that, like, stamp me up. Like, if a guy was doing something crazy, I would always be the first one to be like, oh, whatever. Move on. And, you know, people very close to me would be like, I don't understand this. You're not even that type of girl. You would tell a dude, bye in a minute. So why are you acting so desperate for him? And what I learned from that was being like that with him set a negative tone and a pattern for allowing men to do that and making it difficult. Like, why is it so difficult for me to walk away from things that are not good for me? Like, why am I choosing to abuse myself? And once you do it, and that's why I really say to people with young girls and teenagers, to my nieces, don't get caught up in that pattern. Learn to walk away and let things go. Stop trying to hold on to stuff.
Okay.
That's trying to go or that needs to go.
Okay, that's a very good point right there. And that's where I'm going to bring old Jeffrey in. Jeff, so here Heather is telling you, or she's making statement. No, seriously. You're saying, you know, we need to get out of the mindset of staying, you know, what have you. And so Jeff and I have had some conversations about all of these dudes, you know, because one minute I'm talking to a dude and then the next minute it's another dude, because I'll cancel in a minute. And Jeff will be like, dude, I'm going to need you to be still for a second. So, Jeff, with what Heather has said, do you still feel that the dude needs to be given a minute?
Yes.
Okay, so why?
Well, it's Heather sort of hit on it a little bit when she was talking about, you know, what am I supposed to do after him? So I feel it would just behoove you a little bit to put a little time, a little effort in before you moved on to the next, because you right back your square zero. Now, granted, you can have suitors, you know, out the wazoo. However, you still have to, you know, pull resumes up before you figure, you know, which one you're gonna move forward with.
So you're not necessarily saying stay and, you know, subject myself to the drama. You're saying that before I move to the next suitor, make sure everything is on the up and up, whether it be with them or with myself. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah.
Right. But I also think that when he says give it a minute, like what happens and what you have to be careful for, and what I always try very hard to do is when someone comes along, if you've been in a situation where you've been where trust has been broken or where you've been disrespected, when you see something that remotely looks like something that the other person did or said, you can't put a halt. You can't put a stop sign right there. while you clearing your throat, because that's what you like to do, but we're not going to be personal
actually, if we're going to be personal,
let me finish my statement.
Right, go ahead. Your statement's wrong, but I'll let you finish it. Go ahead.
That's what you like to do. However, you have to give them an opportunity to be who they are without the ruler of, or the standard, when I say ruler, the measuring stick of somebody else. And so that's not to say that they're not going to make mistakes. That's not to say that you know, things aren't going to happen or that will alarm you or alert you. It just says to remain cautious, to remain open. And I think sometimes, you know, it's good. I took a lot of flack, you know, when I decided to be single and date. Because to me, dating means that I'm not necessarily committed to any one person, but I can interact and exchange with several people. And so in doing that, you know, people try to say, well, why are you messing with all these dudes? And why? But that's not necessarily the case. You're dating. You're getting to know people so that you can determine if any one of them are suitable for long-term relationship. And many of them very well may not. They may be good for just what you're doing. Go catch a movie, go have dinner, play cards, escort one another to different events. That may be just what they're good for. And you have to utilize people where you need them and where they need you and stop trying to create something out of them that they're not.
I totally agree. No, I totally agree with what you're saying, Heather. I totally agree. However, and just so that people understand, Deidre is not just a hit 'em. What is all that?
I was giving you the background music for what you was getting ready to say.
No,
go
ma'am,
ahead.
I don't need it. I don't need it.
You need it.
But what I'm saying is, I have every, y'all should know this. Knowing Deidre, I have always been put everything on the table. If you got 5 kids, if you got 6 kids, if you got 2 marriages, if you got 4 marriages, if you got any kind of issues, put it on the table.
Okay, we're going to say something about that, Deidre.
No, but hold up.
Go ahead.
Now,
because
while you putting all of that stuff on the table may make some people leave, I am very open-minded about certain things. If I see certain qualities that are still good and all your mess is in front of me, please give me the choice to decide if I want to stay. Because 9 times out of 10, Deidre will stay. I've been known to stay in some crazy situations. But here's the problem. After you've done that and you've said you've given me everything, it's when stuff start popping up that I hate for anything to come out of the left angle or whatever. And here I am like, that you said XYZ. So there's no reason for this to be happening. And when when that happens, Deidre exit stays right or left.
Okay, let me say this about that. That is a very admirable characteristic. And I found myself much the same way. But here's the problem with that. Sometimes I think me telling you everything and all, I need to trust to a level that I'm comfortable to tell you everything and all. Because not every day and not in every way can people accept it as their own truth and then deliver it as a truth to you. So if we just met, I don't need to slap on to you in the first 2 or 3 conversations about bad credit and I was arrested for child abuse or something. I mean, there has to be some relationship or some comfortability with one another that I trust you with my innermost, darkest secrets. And so sometimes people, you know, what I like to say to people when they lie to me is, what did I do that you didn't trust me enough with the truth? Because it's not always that they just woke up and want to lie and they're deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how you're going to handle the truth. And many times we help people determine that in how we handle our own truth and how much truth they see us walk in. So for you to just come out and say, oh, no, tell me everything. I just want to know everything, put all the cards on the table – there has to be something leading up to that. There has to be some level of relationship. There has to be some level of security for somebody to do that. Because see, if I'm your friend and I'm cool, like I've had girlfriends where they see somebody who's to me not even really what would be considered fat or overweight, but they make comments about weight and stuff all the time. I'm very clear that if I wasn't your friend, then you'd make those same judgmental comments about me. So if I'm around you and I notice how you judge people and how you act towards people that you've assigned a label to or what you think of their situation and all of that, and then I know I have a truth to share with you, then I'm not always going to put that out there just because you said, oh, tell me, and I'm going to be okay with it. I want to know everything.
I can give you that one, too.
Deidre, when you open up that conversation and you have with these people and you want them to tell you everything,
mm-hmm.
and then something else comes after that, do you really feel every time that you do that you are dealing with everything that you just got told? Do you think that is the total of what the person is that you're having a conversation with?
No.
I mean, cause
No. I don't think that, you know, like I'm going to get the whole life story. But like if they're, I'm talking about like if you're married, yeah, that's going to have to be something you're going to have to tell me up front, especially if we're talking about a relationship between you and I, because there's some other dynamics that could go down the line where I'm going to be involved in that. So that means if you don't tell me, you're making a decision for me. So I would rather you tell me some stuff up front. If you have 6 kids, yeah, that's something you're going to need to tell me. Because that means that you may have a bunch of baby mamas that come with drama or not. You may have kids that you see every other day or night or whatever. Again, that's something that's going to affect me. That's something that I need to know. If you...
Okay, but what about in the situation where, and I agree, that there are some things that we need to be clear about up front. Like, you know, if there is a significant other. But I also think that the day that I meet you, I think that we need to have a general conversation. If I say, let's go out to dinner, let's go out to dinner. Now, my expectation would be that someone who is married, unless there is a legal separation, a currently going through divorce status or standard, that they would not be asking you out to dinner. And in the first 5 minutes, conversation, we pretty much can cover, you know, what our interests are, what we're looking for and things like that. But I also think the opportunity needs to be given in very serious situations that just like you want them to trust you with that information, perhaps they're trusting you, they want you to trust them that you don't have to worry about that because I'm going to protect you from that. So if I got 6 or 7 baby mamas, you don't have to worry about that because I'm going to protect you from that. I'm not going to involve you in that.
Hmm. Yeah. There's too many extra people. It would be one thing if it's just you. See, but with social media and what have you, if you got 6 baby mamas and you're like, I ain't tell you because, you know, I got you. Okay, well, she maybe didn't feel that you got it. What did she call me up? And so now I get a call from one of your baby mamas or I get an IM or I get a message in my Facebook box talking about why are you messing with my baby's father or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what father you talking about because everybody I'm dealing with ain't got no kids. That's a problem. That's something you needed to share up front. Even if, hey, but you ain't got to worry about anybody coming and hollering at you because I got this. But the point that you need to share.
Okay, but my thing is this, is at the point where someone has your phone number and they're calling you, there's about one or two ways to get access to your phone number. He had to have set his phone down, which means he slept there, and she did it through it. So you don't even have to have that conversation with him because it's over, because he sleeps somewhere where there is a woman who has access to the phone.
Exactly.
So that ends that for itself.
That's my point.
Okay, but he don't have to tell you about that because that just ended it.
No, but I'm saying, had you shared?
So had he told you and she called you, then what? You'd have been okay with that?
No.
Exactly. So what I told you
it was going to be over.
No.
I guess it would depend on how she came at me. You know, now it's one thing if she got my phone number or something like that, then that's an automatic no. But if she comes and starts talking to me in Facebook, okay, well, you one of his baby mothers, so it was bound to happen one day. We was going to cross paths. So, okay, what do you have to say about this situation? Because all I'm going to say is, yo, this happened. You said you was going to take care of it.
No, if someone did not tell me that they had a child, which I've been in a situation where someone did not say that they had a child, and Discovery, she contacts me, my conversation with them then is, what is the deal? Why didn't you share? And allow them to give me that information.
Okay. I mean, again, I'm not even disputing that.
But if they didn't tell you, I'm thinking there's a reason why they didn't tell you. And unless the relationship, I know for men, unless the relationship has moved to a certain level in their mind, although for us it may be there, unless it's moved to that level, there's certain things that they just don't want you to concern yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a part of their life that has nothing to do with you. They're very compartmental, you know, where you're a separate issue entity from that.
I'm going to need to be able to go all over in all your compartments.
See, but you need to wait till you get to that stage, to that place, and walk slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have 3, 4, 5 years.
You just want to jump in feet first and know all and be all. Let there be some discovery. My God.
DJ, you sound like you're dealing in absolutes, and you cut your nose off despite your face.
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like. You want the dude to absolutely give all himself to you, lickety split, real quick, and then when one little thing or a couple of things creep up. Now, I'm not saying that they're small. I'm not saying that these are small things that creep up. Now, I'm talking about the major things that you just talked about. But when these little things pop up and you got to deal with it or whatever, then you go pulling out the golden scissors on dude. I'm going to tell you. You're saying mm-mm, and your mm-mm is very strong,
mm-mm.
but your mm-mm does not add up to what you're saying.
I mean, well, it doesn't add up to you because I don't waste time. I mean, if you're being honest with me, if you're telling me all of this stuff, and like I said, I'm not asking for you to give me your life story, but there are some key things that you need to tell me. There are some things that Deidre needs to know. So that when you start doing things when it does not line up, there's a problem. Now, hey, we can talk. I am very consistent in that I will try and figure it out. Maybe it was something I said, maybe it was something I did, something. Hey, maybe we were not clear. Maybe we just missed, you know, the signals. It was just, we just crossed in the air. It just didn't get there. Give you that. Give you the second one. That third time. Now, look, Nick, deuces. I'm 35, dude. There's just certain things I'm just not gonna do. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah, well, see,
Sorry.
Okay. I'm gonna say this. We are talking to Deidre.
Right.
Deidre on a mission, Deidre. We are not talking to Deidre who is just, I just want to find a healthy relationship and be in a healthy relationship. So the Deidre that we're talking to now is slight. Because you're on a mission. Heather just talked about finding different people to put in your life for different reasons.
Mm-mm.
You're not doing Right. So every dude that steps to you, if he's not down with that mission, he's already gone. Plain and simple. So what we need to do is we need to ask some callers who are some regular chicks who just looking for a good relationship, whether it's with a bad boy, a good dude, and they just want a healthy relationship to start building something to go somewhere.
But what I'm saying to her is even being on a mission, even if she has something in place or just looking at something general, it can satisfy and fulfill the mission.
Boop, boop, no, Heather.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Heather.
You know what her mission is.
Yes.
So you're telling me, and I'm not going to share, I'm going to keep this person's information. The public can't have this information because I'm supposed to be quiet about it. But Heather, I shared some stuff with you. I was supposed to stay.
I didn't say you were supposed to stay, but listen to me.
I'm listening.
We do agree that I never told you to leave him alone, did I?
You never told me to leave him alone?
I never said leave him alone, did I?
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes.
Did I say leave him alone?
You said, you want me to give you your exact words? You said, if I need to come to Texas and make sure that does not go down.
Oh, no. That was because after I got to the criminal record.
Heather.
Not that they had committed a crime. Not that they had committed a crime. I meant records, public records is what
Heather.
I meant to say.
Heather.
This is what I'm saying to you. Okay, but this is what I'm saying to you. At that point, at that stage, but see, that situation is not what I'm talking about because there was time invested and a process with the situation. I'm talking about general dating, meaning I can see Mike, Tim, James, and John.
Deidre can do that.
And
mm-hmm.
James is very good for hanging out, playing games, if I'm going to a car party, doing this, doing that, going to a concert, da-da-da-da-da. John is sort of a homebody type of things like that. So Mike, Tim, James, and John, you may not be looking for anything serious. They may not be looking for anything serious, and the friendship is developing, and everybody's dating and getting along fine. And as you grow and develop, just like in anything, people begin, as they get to know, which is the best part about real relationships, is as I get to know you, the more time I want to spend with you, the more I want to be around you, the more I enjoy you.
Mm-mm. Technical.
And no
there's
matter,
a file and, on the play.
No, because no matter how or what it is, it's bound to happen. And I just think because you're so mission critical minded, you're losing sight.
Guess what? I'm glad
because
for
what
the
you're
fight
doing,
that I've lost.
Well, that's fine. I think it's good to be able to overlook certain things and certain people. I mean, personally, without divulging, the situation that I have now is something that I would have overlooked 100 times. And have. It would have never been an option. It isn't an option. And just out of general humdrum, blow of the horn, it's enjoyable. It's relevant at the moment.
That's great, Heather.
And so I'm just saying, don't be so...
that's great, Heather, for you. As Jeff said earlier, earlier, I'm slighted. That's not going to change, which is going to take us into the next section. And prior
No. Let me say this before you go into the next section. You can slide it, Jeff. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get this out. Slide it. When something is slighted, it is just
your inside voice to yourself. How about that?
I ain't use my inside voice. When something is slighted, when something is slighted, that means it is tilted, damaged, dysfunctional.
You know what, Heather? I do not accept your definitions. Okay, so
it is. Don't be slighted.
Callers, 760.
They gonna tell you the same thing.
683-2662. And so as we move on into the next segment of our show.
I'm going to keep talking about this. Don't be slighted. What are we talking about?
We are going to discuss accepting the me you see. Hello, Heather.
But she slighted. How you going to accept me and you slighted?
Hello. You're going to have to accept this. All of it. All
Jeff,
of this.
You better be glad Jeff is married. That's all I'm going to say tonight. That's the last thing I'm going to say, and I mean it just the way I said it. Be glad he married.
Why is that, Heather? I do not understand. Why are we glad that Jeff is married?
Thank God. Thank good gosh. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what, Heather? It is okay.
If he wasn't.
He would be fine.
He would be perfect.
He would be perfect for what?
For slighted people.
You know what? Now that is where we disagree.
You know what? On that note, we're gonna say hello to our repeat offender caller, Felicia from DC. How you doing?
I love Felicia.
Well,
I don't know if y'all moved on, but I wanted to say that I agree with, you kept saying Heather so many times I forgot your name.
Deidre,
yes. I agree with you on one point, and then I disagree with you on another. I agree that a person should tell you very important things up front. If you have children, that is a must. You must tell me you have children. I don't need to know their names right away, not even their ages, but that you do have children. Okay. If you're married, I need to know that from day one so I can leave. So some things are very important to tell up front. I don't need any baby mamas DMing me on Facebook.
Right. Thank you. Okay, so what did you not agree with? Because
everything else.
You know what, Heather?
I do disagree with you cutting men off early and immediately. You sound like my best friend.
Oh,
and
baby.
She is a person who she has decided to be with herself regardless of whether she tells us or not. And I can tell hearing from you, you have decided to be by yourself, that you don't want to be hurt the way you were hurt by that whoever that person is that hurt you so badly. And what you do is you see something coming and you cut it right off. Nobody's ever going to hurt you ever again.
Oh, no. I'm not that slighted.
One little thing, you cut them right off.
No.
Here's the Deidre story. This is where she pulls out the scissors.
Ooh.
Dude A presents himself. Hey Deidre, how you doing? She like, hey boo. She looks him over. Okay, he fits the physical criteria. She takes it a step further. They get to a nice conversation, and Deidre hits him with the question, bruh. I'm looking for a husband. I'm looking to have some kids. I'm 35. Are you down? Dude A says either yes or no. There's no gray area with Deidre. It's a yes or a no. When he says
I agree with
Deidre on that.
When he says there is no need to have
a friendship with a man that you're not going to. If he don't want to settle down to have children, bye.
Right. So that's
There's no need. Let me tell you something. She's 35. She's wasting time with men who want to play the field. So I agree with her on that. That should be not saying that she can't come to me like, yeah, let's get together. We about to get married and have some kids. But
right.
She's telling them, this is my goal. If that's not their goal, then there's no need for her to be with them. They're not in that mind state. This day and age, there are 45-year-old men still going to the club, still talking about I'm single as a dollar bill. They looking sad. It's a sad state out here these days. It seems like nobody wants to settle down.
Hmm.
So why be with a 40-year-old man who says I'm not ready to settle down?
You better go ahead. Go ahead, Felicia. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hold up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so what you're trying to tell me is that you have a belief system built in you somewhere that everybody needs to pair up and settle down. That's what you're telling me.
No. Some people, men and women, will never settle down. So why be with that person who's never going to settle down when that's what I want?
So if you have the belief system, because now you're taking me through levels now, you just basically shot every single person over the age of 35 in the club, still single, who might have the understanding that they shouldn't even be in a relationship, that they look crazy in the club, and then you just said that everybody's not, it's a relationship and stuff like that, it's not built for everybody. So, I mean, which way are you trying to turn it? You can't have it both ways. You can't condemn them and then be like, well, if you know your situation, there it is. You're single person in the car.
I can't condemn what I have done. I'm over the age of 35, and I have been in the club in the last 2 years. It's been about a year and a half since I've been in one. But what I'm saying is I had the mindset of I've been married before, and I want it again. But I'm not going to be with a man who doesn't know that he wants that in his future. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
If he's shying away like, nah, I can't see myself ever getting married, why am I going to be with this person? If I want children.
But I don't think we're asking her to. I'm not. My suggestion, or I don't think that the goal is for her to get with someone who doesn't have the same goals that she has, regardless of marriage, children, even if it's life, you know, the same mandatory standards of life or moral concepts. If I wouldn't say hook up with someone who does not have that. I'm simply saying she can date someone without knowing all of that in the beginning and discover it. And what she does not
want
to do is to discover it. She wants to know front and center.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is, and let me finish, the fact of the matter is that that's not a problem. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it may not always be expedient or feasible. Because at her age, 35, which is not by any ways a senior citizen.
You're right.
Most men who are 35 in today's society already have children. And most of them had them at a much younger age and feel like that part of them is fulfilled. And it's very difficult for a person who does not have children to satisfy themselves with someone else's children when they have a need to have their own. So the odds are stacked against her and myself, because I'm not married at 35, of being married, you know, just like having a baby. It diminishes as time goes on, whatever they say. And I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just simply saying meet someone without the upfront, I want to get married and have children, because there may be a man who has children who's open to having more children. But if I meet you off the break and you say to me, I'm ready to get married and have children, so what are you about? Okay, well, it may be very well in my future, but I'm not ready to talk about it on the first 5 dates.
Mm. Well,
if you put it that way, I can see it being standoffish, but I do think it should be in the conversation.
But it should be in the conversation once we discover whether or not we even want to be a couple. We ain't even got to be in a couple. We just dating.
Right.
Okay,
so when he says he wants an exclusive relationship and he don't want you to see nobody else, then that's when you can say, when I become exclusive, I become exclusive at the point where I'm preparing for marriage and children. Is that the same road you're going down, or are you the type that just wants to shack and be a couple? Or are you the type that just wants to have kids and not be married? I mean, that's where you have that conversation. I'm saying off the break, meeting them, first 5 dates, we dating, just having a good time. Because at this point, you don't even know if you like him. So if he crazy and you don't like him, but he say, oh, I want to be a husband and have kids, you still going to do it? No. So I'm saying have some discovery.
But you want to know what, though? Let let these two get in that situation, and he is crazy, or he starts doing some crazy stuff. This will be the time where their mind will accept the fact that, now it's okay for me to be a single mom because I need to get away from him. We said before, go ahead, go pay your little money and get turkey baster out, get your little spark going and be a single mom. You won't even have to deal with the whole situation. But no, they want to go through the whole situation of having this man.
They don't want to get the turkey baster out.
And not only that, I hate to say it, but if you are not the perfect package that he even thought to have kids with and be with, he's going to pull a trigger and get away from you.
And that's true. Nobody's saying that the first man you meet who wants to get married, that's the person you're going to be with. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is y'all have to be in the same mind state to even have a good relationship in the first place. If you're on two different levels, it's never going to work anyway.
Right. Well, like I just said earlier, Deidre's not going to have to worry about that because within the first 5 days, dude is gone. So she can't even get on a level playing field with anybody.
Okay.
He's going to answer the question how he needs to, and he's gone.
Right.
Sayonara.
Thank you for the date. Thank you for your time. And I'm out. Here's the thing. Everybody is thinking, and you know what? How about we get off Deidre? The topic of discussion is accepting the me that you see. This is me. It's not going to change. You know, well, no, I can't say that because I'm evolving all the time. And, hey, I may meet this guy who changes my world. He could be 5'4" and changes everything that I've ever thought or whatever. What?
I hear what you're saying, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm going to go ahead and let you finish. And then Heather and I will probably both show you how this man will never be able to change your world. But go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm not going to get into a debate. We've been talking about this for over a year now of, you know, y'all believing that, you know, the whole putting everything on the table within the first 5 dates and all this kind of stuff, you don't necessarily agree with it because the dynamics that y'all have in your life, Heather, you have a child, you know, there's some other dynamics. You're not necessarily, if you never got married, yes, you desire, but the whole marriage thing is really not a big thing for you. Jeff, you're married. You have 2 kids. So your dynamics, the both of you, are very, very different from mine. I am single. I do not have any kids. I do desire to have a husband and a child. Okay, don't want to adopt, don't want to do all this other extra stuff, don't want to be a foster mom. I want kids. So I don't care what you say, I don't care who it is, you're going to have to accept Deidre, the person you hear, the person that you see, that's what you're going to have to accept. And if you don't, then I am willing, hence I'm 35, still single, no kids, I'm willing to accept whatever consequences come along with that.
Absolutely. Okay? Well, I think that people do have to accept, and I'm very big about people accepting people for who they are and for where they are. I totally agree with that. But I think that in exchange for someone accepting you the way you are and who you are, you have to be willing to accept them the way they are and for who they are. Can I finish my sentence?
You know what?
And if who they are is a person that does not want to confront all of that up front, then accept that. If they're a person that don't want to share their whole life history in the first 5 days, accept it.
Okay.
But you're saying it's unacceptable. Let me finish. Because one of us may choose to live transparent and the other person may choose to live between a frosted plexiglass, we got to let them do that.
And what it appears that y'all don't understand. Let's say I'm out on a date with someone, and yes, regardless if they do it for me or not, I am one of those type of people. I'm going to give you the trust up front. I'm a very transparent person. So I'm telling you, dude, 35, want kids, want marriage, where are you with that? I've had someone say, at this point in my life, I am not looking to get married. Will that change next year? Will that change 2 years from now? It might, but right now where I am not looking to get married, nor am I looking to have kids. Now, you would assume, based on my conversation, that he was exited and we never had another date. That is not the case. Because we had several more dates. We're actually still very good friends to this day. And he has now said that he does not want to get married ever. And he does not want kids. Because there are some things that he would like to continue doing. And kids would slow him down. Not that he wants to go and sleep with 30 women and do all this kind of stuff. He just has goals, dreams that he wants to do. He doesn't want kids. But in him saying that, I will not lie, he became somebody, this is just going to be a friend. If it changes later, I'm open to it. But, that's not going to happen. And because I am in tune with my people skills and can read people, it came to be true. He doesn't want kids. He doesn't want to be married. Therefore, we're not together. But had I been like, he'll come around and it'll happen. And I'm not one of those chicks. I'm not going to guesstimate and hope and wish and pray that you're going to come around.
Well, nobody is asking you. I'm just saying
I'm not going to waste no time.
Okay, but what do you have besides time?
Okay, time to spend it with myself.
Exactly. So it's never wasted. It's a learning experience. It's growth. And I'm simply saying that ultimately what your goal is to be married and to have children. What you do until that happens is what matters to me.
Right. And what I'm saying is I got enough friends. I got enough people.
I didn't say I had no friends. Someone else can bring to the table.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't need a guy that's going to go out with me to this function or that function. I don't need a guy to take me to the movies. I don't need a guy.
You need a guy to bang your back out, Jeff. That's what you need, Jeff. You
need
a back breaker, move shaker. Okay, I'm sorry. I digress. I got excited.
No, I'm not doing any of that.
Well, maybe you can't meet the husband and the baby maker because you got all these guys for all this other stuff.
Well, Heather, ain't nobody said I had a guy. I can do these things myself.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, We still have time. Callers, call in and tell Heather she's crazy. Because
Heather is crazy.
And that number where you can do that is 760-683-2662. And for the, let me see, for the see, the chat room is off the hook tonight. Let me tell you what they said in the chat room.
Oh, gosh.
The chat room says, ain't going to get a baby by yourself either. Yep, Jeff and that turkey baster are sounding really good for you. You know what, dude? I'm going to be all right, okay?
No, listen, let me say this. And I've had this conversation with another friend because whereas I was at one point in time in life, which is such a mystery to me, thinking that maybe I did need to get married, maybe I did need to settle down, that whole genre. And a lot of it for me was because of how I was raised and being in a part of the kingdom and living that lifestyle. And when I say living that lifestyle, I don't mean living what church people do, but living universally connected to God. I've had to, or I am currently on the journey of what I believe significance and commitment in relationship means for me. And I totally believe in the family. I totally believe that marriage is an established union and it is right. I don't think that it's wrong. But I do not necessarily believe that it's a must for me. I am very comfortable in me, and I'm still, you know, discovering for myself, becoming comfortable with the right or wrong of it. But I'm very comfortable in me being in a committed relationship long term and not being married. Like, I don't have the urge or the necessity for the title of wife and husband. I do have the urge and the necessity for the responsibility of that. And it may sound convoluted, like, why would you want the responsibility? I mean, because who would want to work a job? Trust me, I've had this argument. Who would want to work a job and do all the work but not get the pay? Or who would want to work the job and do the job of the president but be called the receptionist? Right. And absolutely, at the end of the day, nobody. But I do think when you feel like you're suitable for being a mate, that the title really doesn't matter because it is not work to you. When it's not work for you, it's enjoyment. You get pleasure out of meeting the needs of a partner, of a mate.
That's what you're brought to do.
And so I feel more like, for me, bigger than anything else, ever, and I've always said this, and I've in the past put it in the terms of being a wife, but bigger than anything else in life, because I do it on every level, I'm so more comfortable in the background, in church, in where I work. Supporting from the background is what I enjoy doing. And much of the role of a wife or a helpmate to me is supporting your husband or your mate as he moves forward in life for the family, for the community, for society. And how I do that, I'm just not caught on the fact of, but he got to be my husband. I can support him in his endeavors. He can support me and have those roles, which I find for me are far more traditional, without the title or the partnership of marriage. Like, it's just a battle for me because of how I was raised and knowing what the Bible says. But in me and myself, I can see living with someone and being a family and not necessarily being married and being okay with that.
I'm going to, at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, the round of applause that you hear will be coming from Jeffrey for what Heather just said.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
That, and I say that because I come from a small town in Connecticut, and I've seen so many relationships that have gone the distance, and these people are not married. They're committed to one another, to their family, and, you know, they bonded almost, you could say they bonded like a husband and a wife, but they just chose not to get married. They have their arguments. They love to have their arguments. They love to make up. They love to be with family on both sides of the fence. They have kids. They go to church. They do stuff in the community. They're not married. And for all the married people that look at them, it's like, wow, you're about as happy as us. That's
if not happier.
Right. And it's just like, so I come from that place. I see that. And from what you just said, Heather, it's like, yes. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you,
Heather.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, I honestly believe that. You know, I mean, I just feel like there is, that place exists and that it's real. And like you said, I, too, have friends that I went to high school with who were in that place. So I think it's a very real situation. Deirdre, you're very quiet.
Girl, I ain't got nothing to say about you. That's what you want. I am accepting the Heather I see.
Oh.
Now, does anybody accept the Deirdre they see?
Listen.
Formed into these little fake.
No. I don't think you should change in any way about what you want. I don't agree with the way in which you go about it. And I think, and this is just my personal opinion, that sometimes we sabotage achieving our goal by the way we go about getting it.
Okay.
Deirdre, you are a moving target for dudes that they might want what you want, they might not. When they get to that point with you, all of a sudden now you're not the trophy that they thought they had because you're the one who's cutting them. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Back in the day when I was single. Yeah, okay, I wanted to be in a relationship, so I would go search out and go talk to different females, go on dates and stuff, find out where different people, where their heads is at and stuff, and then choose one and go forward. But if I saw some young lady in the supermarket buying a can of soup, I approached her, I get her number, we go out on a date, and then she cuts me because I answer a question wrong.
Let me just put it out there because I don't want people to get stuck there and they're forever in that stuck place. I do cut people, but for those who know me, know that I stay far longer in situations that are necessary. And so because of that, there are signs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I've heard the whole, give a person a chance so that you can get to know them and what have you. And, you know, when somebody is into you, things will change and blah, blah, blah. Where there are times where it's my gut is saying, run, do not walk, do not wait. I mean, get on the first thing smoking. And I say, well, you know, you got to give people time because they're not where I am and da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff. And I stay, and I've wasted time because I'm, you know, just as Felicia was saying earlier, you know, she waited for 8 years for that person to come back to be the person that she knew initially, and it never happened. And so I don't want to ever be in a position where I'm sitting and waiting for this change when, I mean, because you guys will say all the time, when a man tells you how he feels, that's exactly how he feels. You cannot be this girl who is like, well, he was going to change his mind. He just needs to grow. And no, no, no. You said you didn't want it. There's no reason for me to stick around to figure to find out if that's what you want 5 years from now.
Deidre,
I don't have time. I don't have time for that.
In a guy's mind, when transparent Deidre puts everything on the table, this is what I'm scared of you. When you put everything on the table as quick as you do, that is pretty much the equivalent of sexing a guy on a first night for a lot of other women who feel that he's already got the goods, so he's not going to respect me later on. If you put everything on the table real quick like that, what's to say that, as you were just saying, I want you to realize me for me, want me for me, because this is all you're going to get. Well, you just put everything on the table over lobster, as red lobster, and what am I supposed to do with that? So are you trying to tell me that there's nothing else to you than what you just told me? At that point, the dude can tell you to kick rocks. That's what I don't want to happen to you.
Okay, let me be clear. I am not at the table, people, saying, hey, I'm 35. I want kids. I want to be married. How about you? Oh, really? Okay, dinner's over. I'm not doing that. I talk to people. We go out. We hang out. We have a good time. We talk. We share. We do a lot of things. But I'm saying at the end of the day, because I'm pretty clear, and I'm pretty sure if you go back in the conversation, you hear me say, around that second month, that third month, Deidre exits stage right or left. So in about 2-3 months, we've had more than about 5 dates. You've pretty much shared. I've pretty much shared. There's no sense in me wasting a year or 2 years of my time. So while I am really appreciative that you guys are concerned that maybe I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face, I'm good. I'm pretty okay
Whatever.
Where I am. Thanks.
Whatever.
You can whatever you want, Heather.
I wasn't concerned because I think people are going to do what they want to do, how they want to do it. I simply said that getting to the goal and how we get there, you know, is what my concern is. But I accept you for who you are, and hopefully they do too.
Well, they will, or we won't be together. Simple as that.
Just make sure you accept them as well for who they are.
And I am.
I really wish
that y'all could be a fly, you know, maybe Jeff, you said one time, hey, we just need to go on 20 dates with Deidre. Y'all would be amazed at some of the stuff that I hear, some of the stuff I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll go with this. We'll see where this rides out, you know, whatever. And it's just like, I could literally say, we go out on date one, I could literally say, this is not going to work out. But I go ahead. 3 months later, it does not work out. And I'm accepting you sitting. There was this one guy, totally not the type of guy I ever deal with. He was an interesting soul on the other side of the tracks, you will say. And so we're talking, and he's saying stuff. I have no idea what he's saying because every part of what he's saying is some kind of slang or some kind of acronym of how something is. And I'm like, you know what, Deidre, everybody deserves a chance. I mean, he took a chance on you, so hear the dude out. We go out, we're talking about stuff I have no clue. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it another try, you know, because surely deep down inside there's something I can pull from, you know. We're going to make this. Yeah.
Maybe
in that one instance you weren't his type of Geechee.
Yeah.
Or
well,
you know.
No. I was the one for the day. I mean, I was good, and we could still be in a relationship or going down the road or what have you, but I would be like, I have no idea what I'm in or why this is what it is. I don't understand anything that is coming out of his mouth. It is just going over. I don't get it. I don't understand the fascination with what is you seeing in Deidre? Because I'm missing something. What is it? This doesn't work.
It's that twinkle in your eye. It's that smile. It's the way your nose just...
Okay, so Jeff, when you met your wife, were you at the point of prepared to be married, or did you all evolve to that?
No, she let me get ready myself. It wasn't a pressure thing. I mean, we talked about the idea of it, like could we see ourselves married, but it stopped there at that question. It wasn't so when do you think you'll be ready? So, you know, I got a timetable. It was just, can we see ourselves married? Because people were saying, you two make a nice couple. When y'all gonna get married? So then we had the conversation, can we see ourselves married?
You met her, neither one of y'all had marriage on the mind. Y'all were just dating and having a good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. See, that's more the type of thing that I would like to see. You know, for me, as I said, I'm not, you know, predisposed towards marriage or whatever. But I know that if I was with someone and I was committed to them and that's what they needed, I could be open to that. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm oblivious to it, like, oh, no, I'm staying away from it. I could be open to that, but I'm not looking necessarily for someone who says, I'm looking to be a husband or I'm looking to find a wife. I mean, that'd be nice to meet someone like that. But at the same time, I'm more looking for someone who fulfills me and is ready to be committed to whatever we have. I've always been one of those kind of people that whatever it is, let's stick to it being that. So if we just about sex, don't nobody get confused. Let it just be about sex. If we just about hanging out because our kids get along and that's a good play day and I got mine and we got them on the same weekend and that's what we about, then let's be about that. You know, like everybody being sure about what this is, first thing first, have that conversation. And then moving in that, not necessarily, you know, trying to make it more or trying to change the person or wishing it was more. And for me, that's the biggest part of accepting folks where they are, how they are, because I think, you know, women say it all the time, if you just want to have sex with me, just tell me. You got to mean that when you say it, when you put it out there. Everything that you say, however you say it, if you want people to accept you, you got to be accepting of them.
I agree with that.
Okay, Deidre. And you're a very accepting person too.
Yes, I concur.
She is.
Well,
she wasn't when I first met her, but since then she's gotten better.
Oh Lord Jesus, help us today. But callers, we do thank you for joining us with this topic tonight. It has been a pleasure because you know why? We accept the you that we see. And you can always come to Among Friends and share your comments and concerns. And we're going to tell you you're wrong probably most of the time. But we still accept you.
You're sounding like a really bad Hallmark card right now.
Yes,
But seriously, on the real, we do appreciate you calling tonight and joining us in the conversation. Felicia, please call us back again and share your comments and questions. And for those of you in the chat, we would really love to get you guys in on a call one day. But join us next week where we'll be talking about should I go or should I stay, cheating, physical abuse, bad sex, no communication, no standards, etc. So it's sort of like an extension of what we've been talking tonight. So I really can't wait for you to join us next week. And we'll talk again.
Amongst Friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.